And welcome to the Funny Style Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Robinson. Today we have special guests. So real quick, we have
Brian Milligan
and
David Jollett
and
Antoine P.
So Jolly is here. You're here for like a week, right?
Yeah, till Monday.
Till Monday?
I'm leaving Monday.
Okay, you going back to Austin Monday?
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, clearly we're going to ask you, what has it been like since you've left Florida and are now in Austin?
Amazing. It's been great, actually. It's been real nice. You know, I enjoyed opportunities meeting different people. Just, I believe when you leave Florida, you get a chance to expand creatively, just getting better, because it's more shows. Like, it's been a Saturday where I've literally got up six times.
Hell yeah.
All 10-minute paid spots.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like networking, especially if you're the type of person who just kind of mold into it, you know. And the thing about Austin is it's such a young scene to where it doesn't have any identity to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could pretty much go in there, and if you're funny, they're just gonna show you love, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just gonna blossom.
Hell yeah.
Just from being funny.
And those, like, so you're doing, like you said, six paid spots, right? What do those pay roughly when you do those?
They all vary. I mean, it all depends on the sales and stuff, but at least $30.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it's just kind of like the same New York vibe. But it's times, like when I first got there, I was just paying my bills off of spots. I had no intentions of getting a job.
Really?
Yeah. Like I don't have a job now. Like I'm a door guy at the mothership, but I'm never there. You know what I mean? And yeah. It's like, I guess it's a job, but it's not really a job. It's nobody on your back. You know what you need to do. Do what you need to do. Nobody ever gonna tell you, hey, you need to go. Nah, it's like family over there, man. I like it. Yeah. I believe, like, if you're a young comic and you got 5 to 7 minutes, leave.
You got 5 to 7 minutes, for real?
Yeah, I mean, because you can still grow at the mics, but with that 5 to 7 minutes, you can maybe get on, you could bark a little bit, then get on the showcases. If you're like 22, 23, become who you're going to be there. Don't listen to these jaded, angry comics from Florida, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got a lot of people who just jaded, who like hate everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody.
Have you met Chris Robinson? Like,
you be chilling, Chris. You know what I mean? You ain't angry. You know what it take, but it's like you got a family, you married and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So that's a whole nother level than someone who just can get up. You got any kids?
Three.
Oh, damn, never mind.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to say, like Antoine, if he wants to, he can get up. He ain't got no kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I got a lot of responsibilities. Yeah, yeah. But that's the only thing is, I wouldn't say 5 to 7 minutes move out there, because I think it's harder out there to build time than it is here.
Mm.
Because that's what I'm saying. I'm grateful. Even when we did Nightshade, that's what made me build time is by hosting a room, because you got unlimited time. But out there, it's tough because there's so many terrible comedians at these open mics where it's like 100 people signing up to do a minute, and it's hard to build time out there if you're not funny already.
Now that's what what I would say, as far as like, I get what he's saying, but I'm saying, like, instead of getting jaded, well, unless you get lucky and you bark it a little bit, somebody like you good at a couple of the shows, and then they'll let you get on. But like he said, you can't really build time on that.
I did.
If you don't really know what you're doing.
To your point, I did Sunset Boulevard when I was in Austin.
Yeah.
And I had to sit there all night for one bombing after another. And then I got like 3 minutes.
Sunset Strip?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. In Austin, yeah. And again, cool room. But there were so many awful comics that you just had to wait.
The biggest ceilings.
Well, I mean, you was at a mic.
Yeah.
Well, like a Wednesday night at 10:30.
Yep.
Yeah, like I can do a good job of putting that together. But I mean, like, if it's a mic, it's a mic. It's a clear difference in showcases and mics.
Yeah.
Like, you got some mics that's cool. Like the Creek got like a couple of midnight mics that I like. They got an 8 o'clock mic. But like showcases are ran by like, you know, another comic, so they put on a real show. That's the good thing about it. If you can get in, bark a little bit, and just be able to get onto the showcases with the people that book, you gravy. You know what I mean? Like, you good.
That's, so you just got to have a good personality. You yeah, like
you gotta have a work ethic. You gotta have a personality.
Good personality. You gotta be funny.
Yeah.
First of all,
it's a lot of bad comics.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
I'm gonna come out to all, because the last time I went with Jolly, because he did the show. Jolly. I'm looking at Jolly.
Yeah, Jolly.
Sorry, I'm looking at Jolly, so I said Jolly. I went out with Jari and I did the show at Roscoe's.
Yeah.
And then I did left Roscoe's and did the Sunset Boulevard or whatever. But it was such a short like notice that I didn't get a chance to reach out to like you and Jimmy and Cam and like try and figure out what's the right showcases to get on or whatever.
The best thing to do is the hang. The hang is so much more important than anything. Austin, the hang is everything. Just because, like how we just saying kicking the Bobo, you know, I might not know you from nothing, but like, oh man, Chris is dude, cool. Hey, you want to come do some time? Then boom, you do some time here. Me and this other guy who book rooms. Hey, yeah, man, this guy Chris is funny. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now, next thing you know, everybody know who you are. The first time I did the Mothership, when I did that audition shit, I left the club and made it to Creek. When I got to Creek, they were like, hey, I heard you just got passed. I was like, well, how the fuck you know that? It's like word of mouth, like big time.
Damn.
But I mean, that's a good thing, because you got a lot of bad comics, man.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
So it's like the open mic level, then it's like showcases, then it's like the motherfuckers who like really working. You know what I mean? I wouldn't trade it for the world though.
So when you do like door guy shit at the Mothership, do you like call in for spots for that too? Like, hey, I'll be here around.
Well, I mean, like on Mondays, you call in and tell them what your availability is.
Okay.
Then Egot just send it out. Well, Asan, he give it to Asan, and Asan send it out what fat guy spots you got, what little boy spots.
Uh-huh. But what about your door guy shifts, like seating people and all that shit?
Oh, they got a we have a schedule for that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called G shift or something.
Okay.
It's like a regular job.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, like, I think it's like 19 door guys, maybe 18.
Okay.
It's only 8 per shift. And it's always somebody wanting to work.
Yeah.
Because they pay us $20 an hour to do nothing. Like, seriously. I didn't even know what we were making until the other day when they told me. I was like, all right.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. They take care of everybody there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's real family-oriented. Like, if you're just an angry person who's just negative and all that, they'll run you out of there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I'd be happy when other people be blowing up. When stuff happen for people, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, if this just happened for you, I'm not too far.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the same area. I'm in the same, you know what I mean? Like everybody say something, like, we'll be like, we up.
Yeah.
Like, something happened good with somebody, they'd be like, we up.
Yeah.
Like, we up.
And actually, the to your point, the networking is better that way. It's hard to go find somebody that's big for you to network with. But it's easy for somebody who you already know and are cool with to blow up.
Yeah.
So you get the same result.
It's like the craziest things, like the different opportunities. Like, it was after Kill Tony one night, and we were just chilling in Mitzi's. And every time I see Ari, we sit there and rap. So I'm sitting there talking to him. I'm like, yeah, man, I got a podcast I just started. Man, it's going pretty good. It's like fire. He was like, oh, yeah, I want to get on that motherfucker.
Couldn't believe you guys got them all.
Bro, that was
so cool.
But he just like a real, like, everybody that you meet, I haven't met any dickheads. Like, none.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was just like, oh, I want to be on it. He was like, take my number down. He was like, fuck, give me your phone. And he put his number in my phone. And I was like, hell yeah. And then I hit
prove
him
it.
Up.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't care. I was just joking.
It's just like stuff like that. Like, the other day, I was just sitting there chilling. It was Tony in there. Fucking Ron White was in there. And I'm just sitting there looking like, we just shooting this shit. Like, you know, they've been knowing each other forever. But just like, just talking about what happened with the day. You know, and I'm just like, at least 3 times a day, I ask myself, what the fuck is going on? Like, seriously. Because I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know. I mean, I would tell anybody, it's nothing wrong with Florida. If you ask me, Florida has the best comedy scene by far in the country. And I mean that. Like, if you group the whole Florida,
yeah,
I put us against anybody in the fucking
in terms
country.
Of the talent of comics. Talent. You mean? Yeah.
Look how much work you can get.
Yeah,
if you know how to play it, you know what I'm saying. Like I know in Orlando, we'll be gonna hit Tampa. You're gonna hit Jacksonville. I'm gonna hit Melbourne. I'm gonna hit Cocoa. I'm gonna hit Daytona. I'm gonna do all of this in a night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like we want it more. Yeah. A lot of people, like I meet people from like Virginia and stuff, they're like, oh well, this is the mic for the week.
Yep,
I'm,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Kill myself. Yeah. That. Just one mic for a week.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know we'll get on the road fast. Yeah.
We from the point when we started to the point we started going out and like doing mics and up, dude. Yeah, it was like a month after we started. We were like, all right, let's go see what's out there.
Let's go, let's do it.
Yeah.
You gotta you could tell the people who gonna like make it. I don't know exactly what making it is, you know. If you're able to financially take care of yourself off of doing what you love, then I mean that just
that's making it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you made it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, I love that shit. Like Florida, like, hey man, yeah, we finna ride over here. And I'm like, damn, that's fucking dope. You know?
Yeah.
And when that shit and you keep throwing that shit against the wall, you don't know what the fuck you hitting, you know, but eventually you know something gonna land and it's like bam, look at it. It's all happening right now.
But you also have to have the mindset of like making it being like you're like what you just said of making it, like paying your bills and shit with it. That's the minimum. You know what I mean? That's where you want to be like minimum. Mm-hmm.
Like you, but like, that gets you to the I see you're right.
You know what I mean?
But it's like that gets you to a point where you can shift your focus onto stand up.
Yep. Yeah.
Cuz like if you have a day job, it's very hard to like
yeah. But if you look at that, like, that's the next step. Like you've been working and doing your shit for, like, the last, like, years.
It'll
7 years, 8 years, right?
It'll be 8 years in May. Right. 13.
And so, but now you're at a point where you're, like, in your life where you're making money just doing this shit, right? So that, now you're at your minimum, man. So, like, going forward, dude, like, it's specials, it's fucking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, like, it's bigger and better.
To be able to not worry about that. You know what I mean? Not worry about this. I ain't gonna lie. When I was doing comedy, like, all the jobs I had never worked because my mind don't even be on the job.
Yeah.
I'm just a body here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, damn, I gotta make this joke work. I'm writing on the job, you know? Yeah. Like, my mind had already said, I'm going to fucking make it in this. There's no plan B. You know what I mean? Like,
you're also surrounded by the best comedians in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you are, dude. Like, you, the best minds, information, wells of knowledge, whatever you want to call it. Like, you got the best people surrounding you right now, dude.
The thing about it is, I know for a fact you probably can just be like, hey, man, let me run this bit by you.
Yeah.
And nobody will be like, all right, get the fuck away from me. You know what I mean? Yeah. I guess it's because, like, there, what people fuck up at, I think, with celebrities is when motherfuckers like start fanboying. Hey, mm-hmm. I'm a fan of this. Like, nah, hey man, my name David. Hey, what's your name? Okay, cool. And then just be normal. You. And then once you do that, motherfuckers will be like, oh yeah, that motherfucker cool.
Yeah, because they deal with that all the time. They see you as just another fan instead of a comic when you act like that.
Yeah, I mean, like I wouldn't. Don't even if you when you do like start hanging with comics, don't even tell the motherfuckers you a fan of them. Hey, what's up, man? My name Brian.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can say like I like your work. That was a good set or something. But
yeah,
that's what I see people fuck up at when they be like, oh,
I love you so much. You're my favorite.
it's crazy. Like opportunities too. Like Matt McCusker, I call him my cousin. I always say, "What up, cuz?" He be like, "What up, cuz?" But we just sitting there having a conversation about a club. The club Go Bananas in Cincinnati out there. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He was like, oh yeah, man. My boy, he owned that motherfucker. Hold on, what's your number, Jolly? Let me put you in his group text with us three in there. Just like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now I just gotta figure out what date I wanna do it.
Yeah.
Just awesome. Like that. Just zero. It's really 0 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's really like 6 degrees now. That shit like zero. Maybe one. You know what I mean? Like
it was just you're getting the contacts from the right people. You know what I mean? Like he's able to hook you up with that club. Another comic would be able, hey, you want to go to Colorado and do comedy work or Denver Comedy Works or whatever.
That's what happened like last week. My buddy them got a show called Dress to Kill, and I was traveling so much, so I was like, nah, I ain't gonna be able to do this. He was like, hey, I'll give you this, and I was like, nah, I ain't gonna be able to do it. He was like, I'll give you this. And I was like, then the last offer, I was like, fuck, you're going to just make me go to this motherfucker. But I was like, cool, because now I'm good with the people that Comedy Works.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to try to go back and do a weekend there.
Hell yeah, dude.
So it's like, I don't know, it's a blessing.
How's it been on the road, man?
I like it. You just got to have some people with you that you fuck with on the road. If you want to take, either go by yourself or people that you fuck with. Like me, Antoine, shit, Rob Smiles.
Who Hell else? Yeah. I saw you brought him to Crazy Utah, right, Tony or some Wellers. Shit?
He used to live in Utah.
Oh shit, I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
That's cool. We doing Vegas in July. That's gonna be fun.
Hell yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw you and Tony are at LOL this weekend.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Tony fun.
Yeah,
that bitch crazy though.
Yeah,
Tony's a maniac.
Yeah, he's wild, man.
But he really, like, this is the thing about Tony. Tony's a great hang, very wise person. When Tony gets stuck with his thoughts for too long, it's finna go left. It's finna get weird. Something finna happen. Like, he just been in his brain too long. You gotta watch him sit back. I used to just sit back and watch Tony. I just seen him try to open up the driverless car doors on 6th Street. I'm like, you're too bored, man. You gotta figure something to do.
That's why I love hanging with Tony. Yeah. Tony, it's always gonna be wild. A fun time.
It's always gonna be a fun time.
Yeah. He's a wild card, man.
You just gotta sit back and look at him.
Yeah.
You sit back and look at him, and you'll just be like, yeah, that's some dumb shit what he just did. That is so stupid.
Well, now y'all got Billy out there, too, so.
Billy out there killing. Billy was on a...
Batman. He's ready.
Yeah. Billy ready.
Yeah, he's ready.
I think, Billy probably had 3 years, maybe two?
I think, no, because he's, I think he's about a year older than, or in it longer
you,
than
you
me.
You won, right?
No, I'm like closer to two than I am one. I think he's... But not quite two, yeah.
He's three, because
I
hit 2 years like a month ago.
Yeah, because Cam, yeah. Three, too, right?
Yeah.
Dude, the crazy part about it is, like just seeing it, you know, like a lot of other comics when I first started, they'd be like dicks to new comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're beneath me. And I just when y'all came around and shit, I was just like, I'm not gonna do that. Like, I'm a grown man, you a grown man. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna respect you if you talking to me crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we adults.
Bro, the first time I met you, you came up to me and you dapped me up and you said, you a funny motherfucker. You never see me. Like, you know,
I
didn't
see you though.
Oh, did you really?
Like, I really be watching you.
Oh, okay, hell.
I used to.
He also be lying. he said the same shit to me too, but then also, then I was
but
like,
I hadn't watched you. I bet you I watched you.
No, you did. All right, you did watch me. But
you
then
have
I,
watched me.
But
I'm
then,
not.
But then I'm going to say, like, me and Cam, I remember, I'm not going to say the comic, but we seen him do it, say the same shit to another comic who was completely trash. and then we was both like, oh, that took away everything this Jolly ever said to us.
At that point they had did good.
Yeah.
I watched Jimmy Fontaine bomb for 6 months in a row. The first time he went up, you know how you bring your friends out and everybody laughing, you like, oh yeah, I'm the man.
Yeah.
You come back the next week and eat that dick.
Yeah.
I seen Jimmy Fontaine eat a dick for 6 months in a row. He was at Drunken Monkey, and I was like, damn, that shit was funny as hell. You ain't bombing no more, huh? And I took him down there to Bullen Bush. And then he ain't bombed since. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's a bomb, but
yeah.
I just think it's cool when you see people still go at it. So when I say, like, you funny, I might not mean, like, you funny, but that was a good set is what I'm basically saying.
Yeah.
Because I done seen people, like, I done seen Gus fucking eat dicks for years. I mean, like, putting them in his ear. You know what I mean? And then we was in New York, and I was like, damn, Gus funny up here. Then he came back down here, and he's still working on that same joke for the last 11 years. I don't know what he's trying to master in this joke, but it's just like timing, you know?
I seen Gus read a 10-year-old joke out of his book.
Out of his book. You know, everybody got their own gauge to it. I know. Like, when Camden first started, I used to go to Harry Buffalo. I sit in there. And watch every act. People outside smoking, they are drinking. I have my whiskey and coat, and I just watch. Because I like comedy.
Yeah.
I don't like watching the specials and shit, because then I start trying to break it down like I'm a fucking scientist of comedy, you know? I like to watch it in its rawest form, where somebody's terrible, and then you watch that guy in a couple weeks keep going up.
Mm.
Now this motherfucker's presentable. This motherfucker's good. Yeah. He's decent, you know? And when I look at a comedy, I don't look at it like, well, I'm trying to break it down. I just want to laugh. It's going to make me laugh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you like, damn, look at these motherfuckers. These bitches getting good. And then, like, Cam and we used to do this shit where they'll come to the house, and I had, like, a stool. I got a mic. And I'm like, all right, do the shit. You know, like, well, make it funny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, like, that shit motherfuckers start picking up, and these motherfuckers is out of here. Like, yeah. The people doing it 3 years, 4 years, like, right now, this shit is fucking beautiful. Like, that, Florida scene is gorgeous.
That's what I'm saying, man. I feel like it. Like, time in is definitely, like, super important. You want to be, you know, you want to be consistent and keep doing it and shit. But, like, if you're funny, you're funny. It doesn't matter if you're 1 year in, 2 year in, 5 years in.
I mean, I mean, it matters because, like, it's some. The only thing I don't like about, like, the old comedians is the fact they try to tell you what you ready for.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that on some concepts, as far as like you'll hear somebody say, oh, I got 20 minutes. No, you did comedy for 20 minutes. You got 7 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't nobody want to hear 13 minutes worth of that shit.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
But you know how many like guys, like I've worked at, like hosted at clubs or whatever. I've been at their like headline and they're, man, they're terrible. They're like 20 years in and they're fucking, they like fresh off the cruise ship, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I mean they get. I think some comics get to a point where okay, you making that cruise ship money. All I got to do is nothing else. Yeah.
Golden Girl joke.
You know what I'm saying? I'm making like 3, 4, 5,000 a week.
Yeah.
But I mean like they never get better, never. But then you got some of those comics that'll tell you you need to do the same 5 minutes for a year.
Yeah.
Like what?
That's crazy.
Yeah, you can't listen to half of this shit that these people tell you.
Yeah.
Like,
to you, the funny part is it'll be people that didn't make it themselves telling you how you should make it. And it's like, you don't even, it ain't working what you're doing.
Whatever you did, it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You've been doing it for 20 years, you're still miserable.
Yeah.
It's
still miserable. It's also the first ones to tell you what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
You still working a job? Like, you got a day job, you've been doing this 20 years? Yeah. Okay.
Man, I think that some people just don't want to make it, and at some points, especially here in Florida, it's like it's recreational. So it's like instead of like this young guy here, like push them motherfuckers up.
Yeah.
Just because you ain't making, what you gonna make them do the same?
Yeah, that's what they
shit
do.
That you do. Whatever. Yeah. Hell no. Hey, look, this is how you do this shit that I know of. Fucking go do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone said to me like early on, it was like months ago. Probably a year ago at this point, he said the mark of a good comedy scene is not the comics that are there, it's the next generation of comics. Like, are they good? Are they fostering like new talent? And yeah. And bro, I feel like us over here, we got a new wave of comics that's like good, y'all, man.
Tier under us, and we're only almost 2 years in.
Yeah,
I mean, y'all a mean little, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
y'all ain't bad. Y'all grinding, y'all sticking together because you see a lot of people. People have their clicks. It's okay to have a click, but don't completely say fuck these people because you know,
yeah,
like that's crazy, you know.
No, I think to your point about Florida being really good in terms of a scene, I think if Florida comics stuck together better, I think we could compete with every scene in the country. I don't think there's anywhere because what I think a lot of Florida comics don't realize is because Florida is constantly has a new influx of tourists all the time.
Yeah.
We have opportunities to have more rooms and more shows than maybe 45 out of the 50 states.
Yeah.
We should be one 50. Of the top. Yeah.
I don't see what, I mean, name another state that has more tours.
Yeah. Maybe New York and LA. Okay. But other than those couple, I mean, I think Florida should be right up there just because there's so many opportunities here.
But the way for that to happen is to make it a tourist attraction. You know what I mean? Well, and like you got to have people that are blowing up that are from here that are,
but it starts with like with the people who doing the shows.
Yeah.
Who producing the shows. Like Hajari them got it. They getting a new room all the time. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I got a room, but we doing it together. So okay, hey, you host it this time. You do this.
Yeah.
You got everybody feeling like they a part of it, you know? When people feel like they a part of it, they go harder than motherfuckers exing people out. Like when I first started comedy, this shit was so like the older comics make you feel like who've been doing it a long time, like, hey, I'm a big dog and all of this here. But it's like, that ain't no fucking teamwork. Like, this ain't no frat, you know? I ain't join no frat Cause I would have beat the fuck out of them if they talked to me crazy. So why the fuck I'm gonna do this in comedy? And y'all niggas nerds. You know what I mean? Y'all are fucking nerds. I'm not gonna be afraid of a nerd. You know what I mean? Instead of just you be a human, I be a human.
Yeah.
And let's respect each other as men. If you see something in somebody, hey man, you funny, bro. Like, keep going. Somebody don't even understand, like, that little small thing right there. Instead of being like, huh, you ain't do shit.
Well, I think that's what it is. And like, new comics, they don't see a path to success through the scene that they're in. Like, in Orlando, there's not like a, like, we were talking about
Preacher, but
yeah, but no. It's not that, it's okay. Not that there's not people that aren't successful. It's that there's not currently, like, this is how you should be introducing and going through the Orlando comedy scene. Like, if you live in Denver, we're talking about Denver Comedy Works, like, they have a whole pathway to success there. You know what I mean? Just being anybody, you could go into Denver Comedy Works, do their open mics, start hosting there. Like, they have a pathway to success, and we don't have any of that here.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that we don't have is, like, a main club where it's actually easy for young comics to get into.
Yeah.
But other than that, we have all the other stuff.
I think the problem is that Orlando has in particular is there are people there that won't come up off of their position. Right? Mm. And kind of how you were talking about the mark of a good scene is the new comics. Right? I think we, especially a spread all around Florida, but we have some comics that should be out of the area by now, that's who won't leave, and because they won't leave, there's no room for new comics to bump into those positions because the old guard won't.
Yeah, that's why you
get out the way.
Just gotta start your own shit. Kind
that, of. Yeah, yeah, that's why in Melbourne, that's what we do in Melbourne.
Yeah,
because I used to try hard to get into the Orlando stuff, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it, we're here.
Yeah, literally, all four of us run rooms here. Yeah, in Brevard.
The thing about Orlando is, like, it's the old motherfuckers. That's it.
Yeah,
like how you just said. Even though Orlando ain't designed as the club being open 7 days a week, Denver Comedy Works is open 6 days a week.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they're in a position where they are developing comics.
Yeah.
They got stuff all the time for comics. We don't have a New Faces competition for Orlando. But how crazy is that? Nothing against them, but this, like, they're not designed to develop comics. That's what I tell people.
It's a business. That's it.
That's it. It's a business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But see, I actually think that that's short-sighted even from a business perspective.
Yeah.
Why?
Because to me, the Orlando Improv is somewhere. Again, Orlando is a big enough tourist attraction. If the Orlando Improv had something Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
it'll make people come.
You'd be able to pull more people.
Yeah.
And my thing is what they rely on so heavily is famous comics bringing in an audience because they're famous.
Yeah.
The Improv itself has no audience. There's nobody that comes there I just love comedy.
Yeah.
And the Improv is the place, even if it's a Tuesday night, if you love comedy, just pull up to the Improv, somebody's gonna be on stage.
It's crazy.
That doesn't have that.
Like, and at Sunset, I'm sorry, not to cut you off.
No, yeah.
But at Sunset, it's cats that go watch Good Evening News, and I see the same people.
Yeah.
And they'll just sit because they love comedy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I get what you're saying, man, and I don't want to say nothing crazy about these people.
Yeah,
no. I mean, there's a lot of regular comedy fans in Orlando. They would be at Milk District, or they'd show up to open mics. Yep. Like, it'd be the same. I know at least there's probably like 10 of them that I see almost every day at a different, either an open mic or at Milk District or one of the Don't Tells or something. It'll be, this is one nigga with, I can't remember his name, nigga with big teeth, that he be everywhere.
he wear all black all the time.
He a black dude.
He just said nigga with big teeth.
Yeah. He always, like, he, one dude, a bartender, I remember buddy from the spot in
I'm never gonna forget that. It's some nigga with big teeth.
I think I know who you're talking about.
He probably listened to this shit too, honestly. Like, he's that much into comedy that he probably listens to this.
And the crazy part is, man, Orlando's so big. I mean, like, first of all, the first thing that Florida gonna have to do is all the motherfuckers, that old people mentality, y'all just get the fuck out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Because this shit that happened, and I be seeing it, like, you can't give a comic, you can't, like, have a young comic and expect them to grow if it's been 16 weekends and you done played 13 of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, and that's got to be set up like for people to grow, or they gonna keep leaving. And motherfuckers like, oh, you got everybody moving out. Yeah, because what the fuck? Yeah.
But shows like Kill Tony grow in environments like that. Like, I saw it in 2016 in the Comedy Store, in the Belly Room, bro. You know what I mean? Like, the smallest room in the Comedy Store, there's 40 people in that room. Kill Tony, you know? And now it's fucking huge. That's what I'm saying. But it was because the club gave him a space to be wild.
I get what you're saying, but like I believe Krista would do more of that, but I know that she got somebody to answer to. Luke,
yeah,
he owned like all of them.
Yeah. But like, even one thing that I like, even I get annoyed, like, I like Don't Tell, it's cool, but there's something about Don't Tell that pisses me off too, because like, to me, if the clubs were doing it the way they should be doing it, there wouldn't even be room for Don't Tell. Because Don't Tell, I mean, you, again, the fact that Don't Tell is so successful means that that audience exists in your city.
Yeah.
It means that all of these people want to come to comedy shows in your city.
But you got to get to the point where, like, I don't know who is telling who, but I don't see why Improv ain't open 7 nights a week. You got all these tours on iDrive anyway. Yeah. I'm going to get the producers, hey, man, put this show together, put this show together.
Yeah.
But it's...
Shit, the Improv should rent out Fat Fish Blue to Don't Tell and just let them run Don't Tells out of there.
But see, Don't Tell want to be creative. They want new places, new areas.
And
but
I mean, I'm just, Don't Tell got a, they got a built-in audience off of YouTube, like Kill Tony.
Yeah.
Like, people watch that shit like it's specials. Like, all my coworkers that don't, like, all my coworkers, I have a lot of coworkers that watch Kill Tony and they watch Don't Tell. They don't really know anything about any other comedy than that. Like, they didn't know where a comedy show was found at.
But think about what's interesting. So the Improv is a brand, right? Well, now it's Funny Bone, but they own all these clubs, right? To me, if as an organization you were on top of your job, right, they should have been recording sets at the Improv and have a YouTube channel for the Improv.
But see, you know the difference? Like, you looking at it from a club owner who wants to develop comics. I love comedy. Like, I give a fuck about my area. They're looking at it from a point of,
they're franchising.
I just want this fucking money.
Yeah.
Are we gonna sell tickets? Are we gonna sell chicken tenders?
I could put a puppet up there, and that bitch could like be a ventriloquist puppet or whatever, or, you know, just whatever. I don't give a damn who they want to come see, as long as they buying tickets.
But my thing is, like, because I did the Comedy Cellar in New York. It took them a million years to develop to the point where it doesn't matter who's on that stage. That place is packed because people are coming to go to the Comedy Cellar. Because
they're coming for the experience.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
you just said, they don't come like, oh, I got to go see the Improv.
Yeah.
No, I want to go see.
Also, but how is like a legendary place.
But that's what I'm saying. How you how you get to that place.
You're not going to get
spending years. I don't think
you're going to get to that place on like a, because the Improv is like a McDonald's because there's so many of them.
Yeah, but you got to remember the original Improv in New York, like the brand was built off of that original club in New York where it was known as the home of comedy. Comics would just come there and just hang out because everybody was coming through there.
I think it's also like to be accustomed to comedy being there. They're not accustomed to like the hang. Like what I used to do when I lived here, if I ain't got no shows on Friday, Saturday, I'm going to the club to go hang out. But everybody don't got the same mentality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's no way that if it's a Thursday, I'm not going to be in this motherfucker. Every Thursday I went, I picked up some type of gig.
I remember when I recorded my album, you were just in the lobby. I was like, what the hell Jolly doing?
Chilling.
Yeah.
What else I'm going to do? I'm a comic.
Yeah.
I mean, I ain't know no other. I should be welcome at the comedy club.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know what got to make that line to where they embrace more the young comics. Everybody should be able to go and do that. But it's not even quite designed like that.
No.
You know, like, because if you go to, like, the Creek in the Cave, that's designed for comedy. You know what I mean? For, like, comics. They got a whole outside area where you could just go out in, chill all day long.
Yeah.
You know, it might be 4 shows a day. You might just walk in at the right time and somebody like, hey, you want to get on this show? Cool. Mm-hmm. That'll never happen at the Improv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but we also don't have the West Coast style showcases or East Coast style showcases with 10 people or 8 people. We still got like the host, guest spot, feature headliner.
And you guys do shotgun hosting on those, right? So you just bring up the next guy?
A lot of them are shotgun, but a lot of them aren't.
Okay.
Like Bianca run her show on Sundays and Fridays. She ran it where like Maddie Stewart hosts and come in between.
Okay.
But I mean, you still got time. If everybody doing 10 minutes, 8 minutes, you got a fire ass 10, you in and out.
Yeah.
That make the crowd like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, because your 10 ain't as strong as your 20, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, just 10 of them in and out.
Yeah, your hottest 10 jokes. Yeah.
I need more. Give me more.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really, really hope. If it came down to it where each city had like a club where it was like a, this is where the comics hung out at, I don't know if I would move back, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it ain't no room for growth here. Like, once you hit to a certain milestone, you there.
Yep.
You're not getting no higher.
Well, I need to get, like, a big club downtown. Like, if they turn the Sack into, like, a stand-up club or something, that shit would be, like, the mothership out here.
That was the other thing about the Orlando Improv, honestly, is that it's in a weird spot. Location? Like, it's not in a downtown where people are going to be. Like, you can't really bark there. Well, there's nobody, like.
Yeah. They said downtown, though, everybody used to hang out when it was downtown.
Yeah.
They said that was a spot. Like, everybody would come in there and hang out, you know, the comics and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of these comics in Florida get disgruntled, and they look at the young comics, and they be like, ugh. You know what I mean? Just because you don't have the juice no more to get up and write a new joke.
Yeah.
And, you know, you decided to have a family.
Yeah.
Then ain't nobody else's fault.
Yeah.
That's your responsibility. You got motherfuckers out here like, hey, man, fuck kids and all that shit. Ain't no fuck plan B. Fuck a girlfriend. I can get some pussy whenever I want to. You know what I mean? So, like, fuck all that shit. Only thing matter is comedy.
But I think you can even.
Nope, you can't. It ain't no. I mean, you can. You could definitely be successful at comedy and still have a family.
Well, all of the biggest comedians in the world all have families.
Yeah, but they got successful first.
Actually, no. A lot of them actually had their same family, like their family the whole time. Yeah.
True. But I guess.
But it takes a certain balance. Like, you have to know, like.
You got to not care about your family.
Honestly, you got to have a wife that really understands the mission that you're on. Yeah, and if you have that.
Yeah. Or you could just not have a wife. I'm just saying, like it'd be like the small things, like me and old girl, we be back and forth, because she'll be good, but I told her in the beginning, bro, you might as well not even rock with me, because I don't care about you as much as I care about comedy, and that's just reality. You know what I'm saying? It might be times I just block you all the way off. Like, do you want to deal with this? You know what I'm saying? Like, I might not call you, I might not talk to you, because I'm mad. You know, and I don't think that's healthy. But it takes somebody that's like, hey, I got your back. Yeah. Like, it ain't no plan B. Yeah. It was never a plan B when I started. You know what I'm saying? When I started, my son, 19 years old. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing that mattered.
Yeah.
Nothing else mattered.
Wait, why was he saying fuck family and kids? Your son's 19 years old.
Well, I'm just saying, like.
He wanted that nigga life.
No, I mean, it's like, it ain't like a every, like,
what?
Like. Johnny, when by the time I started comedy, he was like 12. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, how old is he now? 19, just turned 19. I've been doing it 8 years. So he was already like middle school. He ain't, when they get to middle school and shit, they like, fuck you, nigga.
They raise themselves?
I'm doing their own thing. I mean, you know.
Yeah. That's why I started when I did. Because my youngest hit like middle school. I was like,
all yeah. Right, you time. Like, yeah, you good. Yeah. They kind of. That shit on autopilot now.
Yeah.
Especially now, he go to college, he go to Bethune, so all, you know, we talk or whatever, but then it's like, hey, Dad, send me like $40. Cool.
Yeah, I started as soon as I got divorced. The bitch hold me back, you know?
All the time, you could have been blowed up.
That's all it took.
I mean, it's just comedy's selfish as fuck. It's no way, I don't think it's a way, unless you just huge. If you already big and your family growing, I guess, but there's still going to be some trauma in that motherfucker.
I mean, I think it's good to have a family. Or, like, some like a support system will have, like, a girl, so, like, when you bomb, you can take it out on her.
That's why I got my kids
for. I mean, I get it. Yeah, it is. But, like, old girl, she'll say shit. And she'll be like, oh, well, you don't do this. I'm like, I told you in the beginning, fuck you in, and you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I told you this.
Yeah.
It's gonna get like this a lot.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't probably even no healthy relationship, because I would drop you at the drop of a dime.
Well, like right now, because what I'm working on, so I'm married, right?
Yeah, I know you're married.
So what my wife is a nurse practitioner, so she's actually working on
the road a lot.
Huh?
Not yet.
Oh no, that's a traveling nurse.
Well, no.
She's damn near a doctor.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but what we're working on is, she's trying to eventually get a job where she can work remotely, because if she can work remotely, we can spend, it's not even that expensive to get like one of those Verizon things where you get high speed internet wherever you are. And then my marriage would work because I would just bring my family with me.
Yeah.
You know?
You got kids?
No, not yet.
Oh, you great.
So, yeah. So.
Oh, then you don't even need to bring your girl with you. Like, you could just leave for a couple of weeks.
No, they ain't married, nigga. They ain't a relationship. It's a marriage.
Yeah, you can still leave. What are you talking about?
And what's cool is,
it's healthier to leave your partner for a little bit. It is.
Yes, little bit.
You gotta be up your ass.
But even certain things, like I didn't bring her this St. Thomas one because she just started a new job, so she couldn't come. But, like, next year when I do St. Thomas, I'm just going to turn that trip into a vacation.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, old girl, you know, she's 31, you know. It's a big deal. You know, I wanted to work because she's a sweet girl. I like her, you know what I mean? But I don't like you more than I like comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's nothing, I don't know. I don't believe in all that science shit and all that. But
if comedy is a 10, how much is she? How much you like her?
Comedy, I mean, I like her like a 7-8.
Right.
Like, I would marry her. But I couldn't see myself marrying her because of where she at mentally right now. Like, 31-year-olds, they still need the time and they need effort and they need this. I need like
said
a
old,
on
time and
you
effort.
Know what I'm saying? I need like an old bitch. She on her schedule, I'm on mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like a woman that's like 40 something.
You cross paths occasionally.
Yeah, but we still love each other.
Yep.
But we don't need to be in each other's face to prove to each other that we love each other. I love you because I say it and I show it. I don't buy you all kind of little roses and shit because I'm trying to think of a way to get some money. You want me to sit here and be googly-eyed about you, then you need to go get you some sucker. You know what I'm saying? Or not even a sucker. I ain't going to say no sucker, but just a dude. That's what he on. I'm not on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing. When I first started doing comedy, bro, that shit was the best high I ever got in my life. And just, like, hearing people, and this is like, damn, I need this. I know I can do this. I know I can make it in this if I can't do nothing else.
Yeah.
And just that, and just like chasing this every night. Since I first started, it's like every night. You know what I mean? It ain't no plan B. Even if I don't go up, I just need to be around it.
Yeah. You know what I think it will take is, well, Antoine's point, he was being funny. But in terms of having a family, I think you'd have to have a big family in order for it to work. Meaning, like, when I do have kids, my wife's parents live here in town. And my parents have a house in town. And my mom is considering moving down to Florida as well. Like, my dad and my stepmom have a house in here. And then my mom is considering moving down. So, if I'm gone, there's exactly. There's, like, literally all the kids' grandparents will kind of be around. Uncles and cousins and all that would be around. You know what I mean? So if in that situation, I think you could make it work. But I think if you had a wife, two kids, and no support system, and you just left her alone, with two kids,
you can leave every alone weekend, for a little bit for just the weekends. That's not much.
But it adds up though, because
it adds up. But it's like, if she knows that's what you. You making a living doing it. It's like, gotta just.
Well, if you're right, because if you get to the point where comedy is your only job, then leaving every weekend is not crazy. But if you're like me, where I work 9 to 5 and I'm gone on weekends,
women don't usually care
like
about that.
Like Matt McCusker, I do, but he takes his family with him a lot of the times.
Yeah,
who does?
Matt.
McCusker. Okay, yeah.
And I think his wife is a cop in Philly. I just found that out, and they make it work though.
Yeah.
They make it work.
Women are like cats; like, they don't actually love you. They just want you to take care of them a little bit.
Damn.
This is as uncomfortable as what he does it during a set. Like, it's like, God damn.
I'm used to that shit. You just speak in your mind.
Yeah. That's the truth.
That's the way his brain works. You know?
It's the truth.
Like tonight when he told them people, hey, all y'all gays, y'all going to hell.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that tonight. The other night.
Did I?
No, I
in so many words.
I said it in so many words. The other night I actually said it on accident because I was high and I forgot what the joke was.
So you just told them they're going to hell?
No, so I did like a joke. I didn't do it tonight, but it was a joke that it was a new joke, and I had like a, it's like not homophobic part, and then there's a homophobic part, and I forgot to do all the not homophobic parts. So I just, it's just like when I listened back to it, I was just telling, I was supposed to be like, hey, who thinks all dogs go to heaven or something like that? Instead, it came out, who thinks gays go to hell? For some reason, I don't know how, and the niggas started applauding, and I was like, and then I just went with it, and I was like, yeah, and then it just got awkward, but hey.
Yeah. That's a good thing about comedy, the awkwardness. I love the awkwardness.
Me too.
Because there was a bunch of lesbians in the audience that night.
Me too. Reason, I like the
I
little
double down.
I like the little silent moments.
I did double down. No, I would have probably tripled down on them goddamn lesbos. You can go
down and hail. Nah, I just went.
Yeah, that's by the bottom. I'm pretty sure that's the bottom. I don't know. I like making motherfuckers. Like, I think comedy need to get back to the point where we can say whatever we want as long as they ain't offensive.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the mothership, like, mission, sort of?
Well, yeah, it's real comedy there, man. Like, you can say whatever the fuck you want to say because they lock your phones up, so there ain't no evidence. Mm-hmm. It's a dude. You ever heard of Brian Holzman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen him. That dude's so fucking wild, man.
It's the greatest shit ever. And it's funny. His jokes, like, his a part of his act is he says, so I was in Portugal. I was in Portugal. What did he say? Yeah, Portuguese, Porto.
I don't know that one.
He in the Philippines. He say, I was in a hotel room. You could probably only open the door about this much with so many kids in the room. But it's a fucking joke. And then he'll get like, oh, he'll like, take it in. Let it hurt. You getting fucking mad about some fucking gooks 8,000 miles away. And I'm like, damn, this shit is funny. But it's funny. Like, people get offended about what? What are you offended by?
That's a graceful way to handle an awe, too. Because we got awes before. We're like, what the fuck? Why are they awed? But to go take it in, let it hurt?
Yeah.
That's great.
That man is a... Listen, the nights that I work, I just watch him. Like, everybody gets set. I'm sitting in the back. They know where I'm at. I'm watching Halsey.
He always closes it, right?
What? This shit is classic. A whole hour? Man,
let me ask you: Have you got to hang out with Joey Diaz?
Nah,
not yet.
I talked to him a couple times. I talked to him what Friday, you know. But I mean, not even talk, but just like speak.
Yeah,
like I probably could, but I don't know, man. Them people just people to me. I never like look at nobody like
I got to hang out with this person.
Like if it happened, it just happened.
Yeah. See, I'm not a big fan of comedy, but so when I met,
no, you're not.
When I met all those guys and shit, like I don't even know who these niggas were.
Yeah.
Besides, the only person I met that I actually knew and I watched this shit was Brian Simpson.
Yeah.
Because when I first started doing comedy, I had wrote a joke, and then I watched his like Netflix something, and the joke
stand-ups, right?
Yeah, HBO. Yeah, it was on HBO.
No, I think it was on Netflix.
No, it was Netflix.
He did one called the stand-ups, where it was like a bunch of little specials. Yeah.
It was like 15 minutes or something
like
that.
Yeah, 15. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Whatever, I watched it, and then the joke. I had written a joke, and I did it once at an open mic, and it was so similar to his joke that I just never did it again.
Yeah.
And then I actually saw him the other day, and then like I think I went right before him, and I told him. Like when I saw him in the green room, he said good set, and I told him about the shit, and I was like, yeah, but his joke was so much better than mine. It was like, I'm never gonna do it. So yeah. It was just like, yeah,
that's but cool.
He said it's gonna happen a million times. He said it's happened to him, but yeah.
I remember when Christoph Jean had a joke that Dave Chappelle did almost exactly the same joke in one of his specials, and I was watching. I was like, oh shit, Christoph Jean, because like it sucks because you lose a joke forever. But it's a good sign because it means that my brain is going to the same place that
you're on the right track.
A great comic's brain is going to.
But I also heard a joke similar to mine, and it was worse. And I was like, oh, I'm going to just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, that's a good mindset.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't give a fuck if mine was exactly like yours. I'm gonna do mine, bitch. Fuck y'all.
I just don't like it. If it's way better than mine, then I was like, oh, I can't do it no more. Because I was just gonna hear it and be like, oh, that's the worst version of this
nigga. This nigga's got the great value.
Do you get like that with premises too? Like if somebody has a premise joke where your joke's different, but theirs is better?
I don't know if I've. I don't know.
You like, never run across that?
I don't think I've ran across that yet.
Okay. Like I got that Jigaboo joke, and somebody said that it was similar to thing. Ralphie May or some shit. Mm.
I don't think Ralphie May had a Jigaboo joke.
Exactly. Like, that's why I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. No, but that's what they said on the internet, and I'm like, who the fuck listened to Ralphie May anyway?
That's what I wanted to ask you. Damn.
You ain't reading Reddit, are you?
Well, that's what I was going
to
ask you.
All right, that's good, dude. Those people are fucking wild.
I listen to a little Ralphie.
Those Kill Tony Facebook groups and shit. Like,
I don't get on none of it.
They fight to the death over y'all. Like, some people hate y'all's guts and some people love you. Like, that's a lot of pressure.
No. I just don't read the Reddit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Somebody sent me one of them bitches after that first one. I say, don't you ever say that. No, yeah. I ain't going on Reddit and looking at this shit. Them people fucking evil people.
Yeah, yeah.
They, like, real evil.
I be going on it. But it's a bunch of, like, weird niggas who don't really know how comedy works. And it's just, like, I don't know. It's
honestly, I think Kill Tony picked up all of the people who would have been Opie and Anthony fans. And I think they just kind of ended up over at Kill Tony. Like, it's the same crazy, like...
Listen, it was a dude. I seen Buddy outside the mothership in Austin, Texas. I had a show, one in Baltimore, one in Pennsylvania. He was from Baltimore. He drove to Pennsylvania from Baltimore.
Oh, shit.
It's snowing outside. And he like, hey, man, you remember me from Austin? And I'm like... Yeah, I do. I actually do. You crazy son of a bitch. And then he was like, hey, man,
I'll see I'm going
to go outside and get my notepad. He was like, you want to listen to these jokes? I told him, no. No, I do not want to hear them. But he was like, damn, I see how it is. And I'm like, you know what? Tell me the jokes, man. I'm just thinking to myself, like, bro, this ain't no mixtape or something. What the fuck am I going to sign you? What's going on right now?
That is.
Bro, you're gonna bring him on the road now, Jolly.
I think that's what he wants.
He's like, this is my ticket right here, dude.
Man, you ain't seen crazy till you see the people that sign up for Kill Tony.
Comics in Austin in general are crazy.
Yeah. But
the first time I went to Austin, it was me and Cam and some random nigga. We was about to go somewhere and this dude was like, hey, let me give y'all a ride. We take him in the car or he takes us in his car, and we're almost to the show. He just starts randomly talking about like when he was in jail and talking about butt rapers, like talking about just like ass rape or some shit, and just like starts looking at us and just like going crazy. And like we had picked up some famous comic or semi-famous comic, and he was with us. And then it was the most awkward car ride ever. As soon the nigga didn't even want to get back in the car. And then after Cam said he saw him, and he came up to him, he's like, "Yo, I'm gonna kill you, nigga. You taking all the spots?" And he was like very serious about this shit.
Oh shit!
Who the nigga? The rape nigga?
No, it was like some random nigga. It was some random homeless nigga. He didn't even have a phone. Like this is the nigga.
Gave y'all a ride?
He had a like we didn't know this. We didn't discover this until we was in the car. But he had.
He didn't have a phone, but he had a car?
He lived in a car. This is in 2024 or 2023, and this nigga had no cell phone.
Why y'all like, getting a random nigga's
phone? We needed a ride to cut show.
Yeah, Austin, them people harmless, man. Until they kill you.
Yeah. And then throw you in the lake, dude.
When you meet them, it's like, this.
It's only gay niggas is getting killed out there, too.
Yeah, only gay niggas.
There was like there's a killer out there who killed gay niggas and throw them in a lake.
So are y'all safe?
But it was called the Rainy Street Murderer.
Yeah.
He was throwing people in the same river. It's like, I think that whenever Joe Rogan was like, hey, yeah, man, blah, 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 everybody going to Austin, somebody put up like a bat signal for retarded people. And every lunatic in the world, and they all just was, oh. It's some crazy people out there. But not crazy to where you worried about him hurting you. It's
I heard y'all reference like some of the same homeless people on your podcast, like the I Know You Fucking Lying show.
Oh yeah,
like you're like, oh, you know the lady that always has her titties hanging out or whatever. Yeah, you're like, diaper lady. Diaper lady. Yeah.
If you guys have been to Austin, you'll know these homeless people. Yeah.
She-Hulk.
They're more famous than the fucking people that are doing stand up there.
When I did Roscoe's that one trip. I was literally in Austin for less than 24 hours. And within that 24 hours, I was like, oh, they got a real homeless problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
No, you ain't seen nothing.
It's different types of homeless out
there. You go down there by Riverside, they got homeless people in the grass, like on the medians. It's crazy. But when they had South by Southwest, I don't know where they took these people, but they bust them all out somewhere. Wasn't no homeless people in town. Huh. They say they sent them.
They just came through with tranquilizer darts and just.
Now I'll come back.
Yeah, well, in Utah, the homeless people can go to Utah. You can get 3 meals a day, new clothes every day. Like, Utah is a good state, besides they all fucking crazy.
Yeah, the Mormons, man.
Yeah.
Utah.
Hey.
Go Utah and be homeless?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, they Utah look out for you.
Like, you take a girl on a date and you just like, that's right. Come on, this one's on me.
For real.
Y'all, would you guys clean up a homeless lady if she was fresh?
Nah, I'm good.
I pressure wash that bitch. Pressure wash that bitch, change her life.
I think I told you the one time I went down there, there was one that was like, she was just like a fresh homeless and. She looked all right, but then she threatened to kill me, like, just randomly. But
so you only dated her for a few months?
No, I didn't date her at all. I would. I'd have cleaned her up.
Yeah, I would pressure wash.
I took her to Jolly's place and
pressure washes and sit outside, take them off, get them long titties out. We're gonna get you clean, baby girl. It's the crazy people though. Like most of the homeless people be crazy though. They be schizophrenic. That'd be your main problem.
Let me ask you this. An idea I did have was not to move out to Austin permanently, but to go there for like a month.
Like, and Darwin just waste his money.
And just.
But Darwin just wanted to do some shit. That's how that was.
But my thing is, I think.
Hold on now. What did he do wrong? For somebody, like, I've never been there. If I come there, what can I do? That's
I don't know what he did right. I don't know what he did. He would only be at the creek. Like, if it was me, if I had wheels, I'm gonna hit up every mic just to get more time.
Like all the club mics?
All the mics. Okay. It's a lot of mics. You know what I'm saying? Some of them, I'm gonna weed them out to who I see, regular audience and just comics.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely gonna hang out at the creek, hang out at Sunset. I'm gonna meet people, I'm gonna bark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause once you start barking, people will put you on the show. Mm-hmm. Once they put you on the show, it's all in your court.
Yeah.
Like Rafael Cruz, he don't really got to bark no more. He get paid spots because he went out there barking and he was just bodying everything. Yeah. So if you go out of that motherfucker and just body shit, you good.
Honestly, you know those, what do they call them, Lime or whatever those rental scooters are?
Yeah.
Because all those comedy spots are so close together in Austin. If you just grab one of those little rental scooters, you can hit
everything.
5 mics in a night just running around.
I'd be forgetting about Roscoe's.
I was going to say, Chris, please don't.
Well, if you get one of them electric bikes, you
can be. No, when I did it on foot.
Yeah, you can hit them all.
I walked.
You can hit them all walking.
Yeah.
It's just that the only hike you're going to have is coming from Roscoe's back down.
Yeah.
Roscoe's is different. Like, that's not like on this.
Yeah, no. You can make East Austin. You can do East Austin, though.
But I walked from Roscoe's to the mothership. When I was there, just running around.
I did the first time, like the first one. Remember when you had that show at Roscoe's? That was the first time I went there, and that's a long ass walk.
That's a long ass walk. But if you had one of those little electric scooters,
yeah, you would get that good.
Run around.
Then East Austin, that comedy club right around the corner there. It's so many comedy clubs, South Austin, and that club is owned by like comics. You know what I mean? They just all put it together. Mm-hmm. It's a lot there.
See, we have a place called the Funky Dog Improv, and it's like that.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It's not stand up though. It's improv comedy. You know the acting sort of thing, but it's owned by a collective of comics. So all the improv artists all pay dues every month, and those dues pay the rent and the electric bill. And then when they put on shows, the money from the shows
go to them.
Make them, they make some of the money back. So I mean, and my thing is, I was like, this is such a great idea, but stand up comics, they hate each other too much for this to work.
I think, whatever y'all seen look like, I think y'all seen could probably work doing that.
Yeah.
Because y'all seem to all work together quite well.
Yeah. Well, we all kind of have like
common goal.
Yeah, common goal, but also we all excel in different things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like in a collective way. Like Eric's great at ads and shit like that, like for Moon Room. And, Preach is like, he's starting to get some heat on social media, and he's good at like video editing and shit. Matt is good at being a cheerleader. No, Matt can build shit. Matt can build shit if we need it.
And, but see, that's good to have, and nobody being like, oh, I'm better than you. Like, nah, man, we just trying to get on stage.
Yeah, we just work it out.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's smart. Orlando would have found a way to fucking make that bitch go down.
But I think a part of it is because our scene is so small, and we know we're not like a big city or anything like that. We all kind of have to stick together because we're a small town.
But Orlando, we I guess we're a big city, but we really not a big city when it comes to comedy. So for people to act the way they do,
it's weird.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's definitely a lot more Orlando comics.
Oh yeah, yeah, by far. But I mean, like, no Orlando comic that's on the scene. I ain't gonna say that because I know Jari and Will Mill will. But if you get a random Orlando comic and say, "Hey man, put this show together," they can't sell no tickets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, if you take, like, so if you can't sell no tickets, that's the wrong attitude to have. To be like, "Oh, I'm better." Like, fuck that. Let's get together and sell these tickets. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just fucking grind to get where we need to be at.
Yeah. Agreed. That's kind of been our whole mentality. I gotta get the fuck out of here.
All right.
I gotta go to bed. All right. I'm an old man.
All right. Well, thank y'all for coming.
Thank you, Chris.
This has been the Funny Style Podcast. Anybody have any dates that you wanna promote?
No.
July 19th to 20th, Las Vegas. July 19th to 20th, I'm in Vegas, and I'm on the Killers of Kill Tony tour. So Google that shit. Other than that, I don't even remember nothing else. I'm tired as hell.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. This Saturday, I am headlining the Joke Joint, and Preach is actually going to be opening for me.
Oh, so, yeah. That's in Summerfield, right?
Yeah. In Summerfield. Yeah.
I did it last weekend.